Hello and welcome to League Lore and More. Today we are in between lore series, with us wrapping up the Shadow Isles last week. So something different than the usual. I thought I would just give an update on the season-long competition that I have going on with some of my friends who guested on the podcast a few weeks ago before the season started for both the European League and the LCS here in North America. And just to recap, we drafted five teams each because there's 10 teams in each league, so we each have five out of the 20 teams, and wins get you a point. If your teams make playoffs, that gets you 5 points. If your team wins a championship, that gets you 15 points. If your team win or goes to Worlds, that gets you 10 points. And then we also drafted five players each for five different player categories, which were MVP, most kills, most assists, fewest deaths, and most deaths. And these are not against one another, per se. So if somebody drafts a player from the European region for most kills, they can win it as well as somebody else who drafted somebody from the North American region. And same goes for all of the categories. So the points for those are 20 points for each of those awards, except for MVP. If they win MVP, if they happen to pick the player that wins the MVP, they will get 25 points. And so the updated numbers have myself in the lead with 46 points, 26 coming from championship, or from wins, 5 points coming from playoff qualification, with G2 being that the LEC has now three splits instead of two, so they're shorter. So whereas NA is 60% of the way through their season, Europe just finished their first one. And then I have 15 points from championships because G2 won their championship. So I'm at 46 points. Second place behind me is Jordan, 33 points from wins and 5 from playoff qualification for one of his European teams. And for people that might be confused, so there was the round robin / regular season in Europe, where it was just 9 games. You played each other team once, and then you went into a group stage, which was not considered playoffs. 8 teams went into the group stage, which was best of threes, and then playoffs started with the final four, just for clarification. So Jordan had 33 points from wins, 5 from qualification, so he's at 38. In third place is Forrest with 30 points from wins and 5 from playoffs, so 35 points. And Josh is in last at 26 points, 21 from wins and 5 from playoffs. So we each had an EU team that made the final four. Myself with G2, Forrest had SK Gaming, Jordan had KOI/ Rogue, and Josh had the Mad Lions. So that's kind of odd that we all at least had one of those that make it, especially with SK being the last drafted team in the draft. They had a huge improvement this year and made playoffs, made top four. So, yeah, and then as far as the individual awards go, there's going to be some things that I will need to hash out as a group before we wrap everything up, because with the way that that Europe is doing their season this year, kind of like the MVP is kind of a bit odd. Caps, who was drafted by Forest to win an MVP award at some point this year, that's what this means. It can be at any point this year. It is like he won the finals MVP, so he won the MVP for the finals series, like the best of five that they won the championship with, against Mad Lions on Sunday, where they went 3-0. I don't know how we'll count that. I haven't seen who won the regular, like if they did a regular season MVP. I know it was getting adjusted, and I'm not fully versed on it, but so he might get points for that, which would propel him easily into the lead. As far as the others go, Forrest is also actually in pretty good shape for some of these other things, because he drafted Prince from FlyQuest for the most kills category, and he is like above and away in first place. It's like not even, well, I mean, anything can happen, and like he had a 14 kill game, which other players could also have 14 kill games, so it's not out of the blue that somebody surpasses him. But Prince is at 76 kills, and the next highest is 57. That's quite a difference after only 11 games, to be averaging almost 7 kills a game, and the next highest be just over 5. He's playing out of his mind, and to only have 10 deaths. It looks like that's a easy 20 points for Forrest, whereas my pick is tied for 20th in, I don't think he's 20th anymore, but very far down the list in terms of kills. My pick has 15 kills. He had a lot more last year, but for some reason, I'm not sure if it's the meta, he's not getting as many this year. Another pick for most kills has 35, and then those are just the NA ones. So, but then someone else has an EU player, Hansama, who I believe is in first place, but it's kind of hard. I have to do a lot more work to figure out that one, because they separate their stats from like the regular season, the group stage, and playoffs. But I do believe he's in first place for that, so they might both get points for that. One other issue that we ran into is that I drafted a player to get the most assists in 2023 in Targamas, who plays for XL over in Europe, and they went 1-8 in their regular season and missed playoffs, and then they benched him. He will now be playing for them in the spring season. So I'm kind of SOL on that one. I'm not getting any points from him. Everyone else seems to have either the first or second or like a top five person for that, as so far in the leagues. Fewest deaths is something that's interesting, because there's somebody who picked someone on here who didn't make playoffs. They picked Reckless, who the team went 2-8 or 2-7, didn't make playoffs, And so he's not dying anymore. So now this is overall on the year. So like I do want to clarify that like this is the most kills throughout 2023 up until World starts. But 17 deaths in 9 games, in nine games, I guess, just under 2 a game, is pretty good. But also, like, I guess some of us didn't think about that strategy, or the rest of us didn't think about picking someone who might not make it through playoffs. Now, granted, this person was expected to make play, like Fnatic, the team that Reckless is on, was not expected to finish 9th and miss the playoffs of the first split. But, yeah, interesting strategy that worked out, since everyone else not on his team or Excel, the only other European team to not make at least the group stage of the LEC, has a lot more deaths now because they played a lot more games. Most deaths does have a funny one though, because there was a player that was picked, Doss, for I'm blanking, but I believe he's on SK Gaming, and throughout the regular season, so the first 9 games and then the group stage, I think he had the fewest deaths in the league as a support, which is wild for a support to have that. But or he was like in the top 5 fewest deaths in the league, which is hilarious. Yeah, so that's an update for that. So pending other results, I guess, pending clarification on certain rules. I am in first place, followed by Jordan, then Forrest, then Josh. But everyone here can still win. Josh has the hardest path. His teams are... He's only this close because Mad Lions made it all the way to the finals in the European region. They carried him quite... So they have 16 of his 26 points, I think. They have 14 of his 26 points. So over half out of 5 teams, they're carrying over 50% of the point share. Don't think that's sustainable. But good news for him, at least, is that in summer in NA, because he has 4 North American teams, 8 teams make playoffs. So now, unlucky for him, he has 2 teams that look like they would be the teams that don't make the playoffs, but he has, I guess, a greater shot of getting points back that way. But I guess, yeah, we'll go from there. Hopefully there aren't no more of our players get benched for the rest of the year, like I unfortunately have with Targimus. I don't foresee any of these names getting benched unless something weird happens, like kind of out of game. Maybe a couple, or maybe one or two I could see for performance issues if they got really bad, but all these players are probably pretty solidly in their roster spot for the year. But I'm not really sure what else there's to say on that. But I guess I can give some of my thoughts on just the LCS this year. We're 11 games in, and the league is kind of FlyQuest's to lose. They did lose a game to TSM, which I was very happy about. But they're 10-1. It bothers me when I look up the standings on Google. Like, it will list, like, their wins and losses, but right in front of that, it lists points, which is, like, 3 points for a win, no points for a loss. So, like, there's no point in tracking points because, like, there's no... It's not like there's draws, like, in professional soccer to, like, you know, like, create a difference between the teams or create tiebreakers that way by being able to let a team get, you know, points through other means other than winning. So, like, obviously if a team has more wins, they're just going to have more points. So I don't see the point of tracking points. Anyway, they're 10-1. They're 2 games up on Cloud9, who's in second place, and just replaced their mid laner with their academy mid laner. And Evil Geniuses has dropped, like, at least 2 games in a row, I feel like. And then the surprise story of the season is Golden Guardians, who were 0-4, but are now 7-4. Unfortunately, my TSM has kind of fallen into a batch of mediocrity where, like, they win some, but they, you know, also just turn around the next week and lose all their games. So they're 5-6 at 7th place, but looking like they could make playoffs if some things fall their way. But yeah, there's definitely some surprises here for sure. I mean, everyone thought FlyQuest was going to be good. Everyone thought Cloud9 was going to be good. They thought EG was going to be good. Nobody thought Golden Guardians was going to be this good. CLG ran it back from last year. They kept the same roster. They're 6-5. They've showed some signs of, like, you know, being able to hang with teams, but then they've also just shown, like, really poor play at other times. Same with, like, TSM. Like, they beat FlyQuest. They handed them their one loss, but then, like, they went and they got smacked by C9 the other day. And then Immortals and Dignitas. Dignitas is probably surprisingly in last place. You would have thought, just looking at their roster, that they would just get a few more wins than what they have. But they did bench their AD carry in before last weekend. They're 1-10. And yeah, I mean, Jensen and Santorin are just players that you would not ever envision being on a 1-10 team. Immortals, you always expect them to be at the bottom. They're 2-9. They've been bad for years. They don't get any better. I guess the other surprise here, I'm finding it hard to call it a surprise. Team Liquid is in 8th at 4-7. And they had a lot of hype coming in. They brought in the jungler who just won Worlds with DRX last November, Piosik. And they have a full Korean-speaking roster. Now, some of their players are North American residents, but are just, they have Korean, you know, ethnicity and heritage and speak Korean. And so they have a full Korean-speaking roster after bringing in Piosik and Summit, who is a Korean top laner who was recently playing in China. But and they're 4-7. Everyone thought they'd be better. But I'm not sure, outside of Golden Guardians, I'm not sure how anyone would have thought they'd be better than the top teams in the LCS, in FlyQuest and Cloud9. So I could see how some people might think they would be deserving of top four, but on paper, I don't look at this roster and think that it's beating those top teams. Like, they promoted their mid laner and their AD carry from their academy team, who are good players, but it wasn't deserving of the hype that they were getting, I think.
And then another disappointment, I guess, is 100 Thieves at sixth place at 5-6, tied with TSM. Bjergsen and Doublelift rejoining. They lost 5 in a row, I think. They were 4-1, and then they went to 4-6, and now 5-6. Not the start they envisioned. Now, Doublelift has just returned to pro play after 2 years. So there's going to be rust, and there's going to be, you know, getting back on the horse type stuff. That's probably another thing where people probably had them penciled in as a top two team, and they're just not performing that way. A lot of question marks around their top lane play. They shipped off someday. They let him go. He's now on Evil Geniuses, and they promoted their top laner Tenacity, who has looked really shaky. Granted, he doesn't have a ton of experience, so like you can't just, you know, toss it in the trash and move on. Some cases you do, but it's not, I guess, fair to kind of just say that he should be, you know, benched or whatever right away. Especially because in NA, like, spring doesn't matter as much as summer does, right? Like, placing top three, top two in summer is much more important than winning spring, as sad as that is. And, so they have some improving to do, but hopefully it is not at the cost of TSM, who I hope can make it into the top six and get into a best of five with someone and be able to show that they can fight back in a best of five series like they did last year, where they took out a team or two in the summer playoffs, despite being a really bad team. And that'll be it for today's episode. We'll have something different next Tuesday, it won't be the new lore series starting. We'll have another something different. And then we will pick up on the Tuesday after that with our new lore series. So in 2 weeks. So thanks for hanging out this week. Not the most exciting or interesting episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all next week.